This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How are you doing, Minnesota, the upper Midwest, the entire region? That I know that there are many people listening to us right now that in other states as well, because our signal carries so far. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you are coping, that you're managing. Maybe you found a small bright side, that you're spending more time with your family. Maybe you're spending more time cooking. Maybe you're spending more time reading. That's a good thing to be able to do this, in the midst of this. David Schultz, it's just a different time. Soon you'll be able to garden. You must be looking forward to that.
Well, I'm hoping we'll be able to garden soon, and we'll start our indoor garden, our seeds, in probably about another 2 weeks or so. Probably still a couple of months away from getting a serious garden in, but yeah, we're hopeful. But I was going to say is that one of the things that I've had to learn how to change also is that teaching online, and I feel like I'm starting from scratch again, learning how to do all this online, digitally, interact with my students in ways that I'm not going to see my college students for the rest of the semester in person, because you know we've gone all online. So now getting used to being able to work with people that way, much in the same way that almost everybody out there who's probably listening is having to learn how to, in so many situations, interact with people from a distance in ways that they haven't done before. So it's an experiment for all of us. But I will say, I don't know if you're noticing the same thing, when I did a class the other day, and I was using one of these, I was using Zoom to do it. I'm not advertising for anybody. I'm using Zoom, but you get to sort of see people, you know, in terms of their, not just hear them, but get to see them. I saw awful lot of very happy dogs and cats who are getting a lot of attention right now.
Right. Because they were all at home with their pets. Yeah, it's... although I did hear that there was a large corporation that had a Zoom meeting and somehow they were hacked and there was pornography emerged in the middle of the Zoom meeting.
I've heard about
that.
Right.
So I guess you got to be careful there. But it's got to be a difference and an adjustment. Now, have you been told by, as Hamlin said, listen, this is it for the rest of the year? I mean, I don't know when they get out. It's probably pretty soon in May, which isn't that far away.
Yeah. Well, we were told about a week ago, 10 days ago, that we were just going to extend for a couple of weeks. So we were going to take our regular spring break, which actually started today. Today's Saturday, and for a week. But then we decided to start it a few days early and push it till April 1st, and then sort of evaluate. But then eventually the decision became that we're just going to go online for the rest of the semester. So there are a lot of schools, University of Minnesota, I know St. Thomas, we're doing it. I suspect most of the colleges in the area are opting to go online at this point, which is, of course, creating lots of disruption, too, because for students who are living on campus, there's concerns about living in a dorm, you know, if anything starts to spread there. If they leave, what are they going to do about food plans, et cetera, et cetera? So this is just taxing people on so many different levels that we probably would have never had thought about before.
Right. It's so. Yeah, it really is. It really is. When does Hamlin officially end?
The last day of classes are actually May 15th.
Oh, that's not super early.
Not super early. We're just at midterm time now, and then the following week is exams and at graduation. So let's say, you know, mid to third week of May by the time everything is over. I know there are some schools in the country. I have some friends who teach up in Maine, and I think it's the University of Maine system. Some of the schools have just declared it over for the rest of the semester because part of the difficulty is that many students do not have access online to be able to listen to lectures. I know I asked this last week. I have several students who are relying upon the university computers for being able to, you know, to do their work and so forth, because not everybody can afford a laptop or a desktop. And so we're struggling with trying to figure out, if we're going to go online, how do we deliver a class online? And I know in some situations, some students are opting to say at this point, well, maybe I'll just not come back. I'll ask for my tuition back. So a lot of tough choices. And then also, I have to think about, you know, my school is struggling like everybody else with how do we maybe change the grading process at this point. A lot of schools are now giving students significant options for pass-fail or late withdrawals. These are all very complex issues,
right,
that we're having to work out.
How do you do an exam?
Yeah.
Virtually.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, for me, it's, you know, since I always do take homes.
There you go.
So for me, that's going to be fairly easy. Yeah. I'll send out the exam. I'll have them send back something to me, you know, in a PDF or a Microsoft or a Google Docs or something. So for me, it's not that complex. Although I did have one of my classes that had midterms due in before all this happened, and so I've got a stack of midterms that I graded, hard copy, that I can't get back to my students, physically. So I'm going to have to. So I told them, I sent them an email and said, what I'm going to do is write up a bunch of notes regarding my evaluation of your paper along with the grade, and then send it to you so you have some feedback, because otherwise I can't give these exams back to them this semester.
Right. It's a different world. Let's talk about, we sort of got a little bit, you know, kind of going into it in our previous half hour. The president obviously dismissing this threat and initially, but now completely all in. And in fact, there have been surveys that show that a majority of American people actually approve of the way he is handling this, but it is this crisis. But all these polls are, you know, to a certain extent, a few days old now, maybe even a week old. And clearly the president has seemed very defensive, frustrated. I can't imagine the pressure, but he was asked by an NBC reporter a few questions about, you know, sort of justifying the response and the problems with the testing. And then this reporter, Peter Alexander, asked a follow-up. So what would you say to the American people many of whom are scared, which is, I think, a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
And he went off saying, you're a bad reporter, you're a terrible reporter, or whatever. And it was just a moment that I think even the president's supporters would have to kind of look at and say, this is not doing anything for anybody. How much in the midst of this campaign, and we have to talk about the campaign too, but how do you think it's going to wear day after day after day if he's on TV like that?
Well, I think it was a couple of observations here. You know, one of them is he's connected himself to two events that this presidency is going to live or die by. First, of course, it was the economy, you know, that.
And the stock market.
And the stock market and all of the gains that occurred during the 3 years that he was president on Wall Street have completely evaporated now. I mean, I've seen numbers that say what? How many trillions of dollars have just been lost in about a 2 week period? So he's lost the economy for now. And it
only looks like it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse, yeah. I was listening to the, you know, CBS at the head of the hour when they were talking about some of the projections in terms of, you know, the crash of the GDP that that may be coming that we haven't seen since 1929. So we don't know, but it's going to be pretty bad. But the second thing is that while on the one hand he's getting, I think, high marks for now, are getting decent marks for leadership in terms of addressing COVID-19. The fact that he's so involved in it, so intimately connected to it right now, could potentially backfire if as most people are projecting, it gets worse and worse because it's, again, we know it's not going to turn around very quickly. And the fact that he has these press conferences where he seems to be at times at war with his own health specialists.
Or giving out information on drug trials.
Right? Because for us right now, like all our guys are back home. You know, we've had some international kids on our roster. We sent them home with the travel bans and everything going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. So for these incoming prospects, you know, we got to give them as much certainty as we can and comfortability that we can give them to let them know that everything's going to be all right. We still want you to be a part of our program. We'll navigate through this. But in the meantime, this is how we're going to kind of try to do things. And like I said, being creative about different ways to show them our value for them.
No question about it. We're talking to Gamaliel Legbe, assistant men's basketball coach, University of South Dakota here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. And, you know, you just mentioned something. I wanted to go a little bit deeper into it. What are some of the types of alterations that your players that you already have in your program that are returning next year, what are some of the things that they're currently having to deal with? Because we're seeing all these different stories about, like, the NFL, according to, I guess, today, they've shut down their facilities. All these other places are shutting out their facilities. Kids are going home, and they're being sent away from campuses. So what is it like for the kids that are already in your program in terms of, like, the communication and what they can and cannot do?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we were preparing to play some postseason play after our conference tournament. And so when everything happened, obviously all the postseason tournaments got canceled. Those all got shut down. And then next thing we know, they're saying, okay, we can't have anyone in the facility. Everyone's got to stay away from campus because during our conference tournament, it was during our spring break. So they extended spring break another week. So we told our guys to stay home another week. And we just got word today that we're officially going online. So it's been challenging. During this time, though, we've kind of kept our weight room open, and we were allowing small groups to be able to come in and lift in the weight room. But then that also got shut down. So now it's a clear cut. We don't want anyone on campus to kind of help do our part in social distancing and not spreading the deal. So we sent everyone home. So right now, it's just constant communication. Make sure they're staying on top of their academics. If there's a way those guys can get in the gym. If not, try and give them activity they can do at home. I mean, it's just like back in high school when you're kind of just coming up in the scene, even in middle school where, you know, you got to do the drills in your basement, in your garage, ball handling skills. It's probably what a lot of kids are going to be doing now. I know for my own kids, they're outside shooting the hoop because that's all they can do right now. So probably just give them drills they can do on their own in their driveway, in their garage, in their basement, to kind of keep them active. And obviously you see kind of the 10-day push-up the 10 push-up challenge going around.
Yeah.
So again, it's going back to being creative to find a way to keep those guys active and still in decent shape. Obviously they're not going to come back in shape, but the best we can do is just find different activities for those guys to do that they can do on their own. But for us, everything on campus is shut down, and I would be shocked if that's not happening around the country.
Give him a follow on Twitter, @coach_Gamaley, which is spelled G-A-M-E-L-I. That's his Twitter handle. A couple of final things, and then we'll let you go, Gam. Like when you when you think about all the kids that you recruit, and you do a good job of recruiting, and you, if a kid can hoop, you don't care where you find them, right? You're looking at Illinois, you're looking at Wisconsin, but let's be honest, you're from here, and you like recruiting Minnesota kids as well. Any Minnesota kid that's out there that's listening to this interview right now, what do you have to say to any potential prospect?
Get past the name of the University of South Dakota. We have great facilities. We have a great coach in Todd Lee. We have a great program, a great team. And at the end of the day, you come here and get a great degree. The University of South Dakota, the community of Vermilion, South Dakota, is very passionate about their men's basketball program. And we're a program on the rise that that is looking for kids that are wanting to leave a legacy. And so anyone that has strong belief in themselves and is willing to go to a place that's relatively, in the college basketball world, unknown, South Dakota is a place for them.
No question about it, man. How's your brother doing, man? Your brother's in basketball ops with the Minnesota Timberwolves. How he doing right now?
He's doing great. Like I said, obviously at the NBA level, it's a whole other deal. Because obviously those guys are $1 million man, so and the best athletes. So we gotta make sure all those guys are safe, and you know. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. He loves what he's doing with those guys. He loves being part of the game of basketball. He loves being with the Timberwolves. He loves his experience right now. I actually just got off the phone with him before you called, and he's just trying to navigate as well. I think this is kind of what everyone's going through. The uncertainty, the unknown of what's going to happen, and everyone's like, okay. Everyone's cramped up in their house because they're saying don't go anywhere, and everyone's just trying to navigate through all of this. So it's a crazy time, but you got to look at the great things about it. If you have a family, you're probably a made time to spend time with your family. You get to have family dinners that now doesn't happen in the world that much. You're getting to tuck your kids in bed if you work late. You know, you're getting to play board games. I know I got to play Scramble and Monopoly with my kids. So you're getting to go back to your earlier days in the 70s, 80s where you spend true family time, and that's probably a blessing for most guys.
Hey, Gam, I appreciate the time tonight, man. I know one thing is a certainty, that you're going to continue to do a good job at the University of South Dakota, man. We'll talk down the line, bro.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. Love being on.
All right,
take care.
Love
what you're doing, Hen Lake, man. Keep it up.
All right, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that. I truly do. That's Gamaliel Legbe. He's the assistant men's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota, courtesy of the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Really good dude, man. Up-and-comer in the basketball community. All right, coming up next, former Viking wideout Stephon Diggs. He got Twitter a little bit heated up earlier today. Why? I'll tell you next year on Lake Night.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.